ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्र भाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः। इन दिस बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद वी हैव सीन द फर्स्ट ब्राह्मणम इन द फर्स्ट चैप्टर द फर्स्ट सेक्शन वी हैव सीन द फर्स्ट चैप्टर फर्स्ट ब्राह्मण वी हैव सीन द फर्स्ट two mantras and when we saw the upasanam virad upasanam upon this ashwa so ashwa upasanam then in the next mantra we saw the agni upasanam was introduced this ashwa upasanam and agni upasanam both upasanams both are the alambanams and actually the object the ishvara here is the virad is the our object of upasya devata object of meditation and there in between there's a diversion that we are not really seeing we have not yet entered into the upasanam because the object the alambanam taken for meditation in the next upasanam second upasanam is agnihi and anything which is to be meditated upon must be an object of glorification which is highly glorified a simple ordinary thing which doesn't have any glory of its own cannot be taken as an alambanam to symbolize to stand for Virat to represent the entire gross universe the entire gross manifestation which is Bhagavan and to represent that Bhagavan in the form of gross universe known by the term Virat the object taken also must have some glory of its own therefore Agnihi is taken as an alambanam and this agni is also not simply any agni kindled to perform the ashwamedha yaga the fire kindled to perform the ashwamedha yaga is the alambanam upon which virat is visualized meditated upon therefore is this here you can say ashwamedhika agnihi is the alambanam upon which Virat is invoked. I'm just reminding you of what we have already seen. Hope you remember these things. But here we stopped when the Upanishad presents the glory of the this fire, particular fire. Upanishad talks about the creation and. Now suddenly the topic of creation comes. From this upasana topic, during the discussion on upasanam, so Upanishad jumps into completely a different topic of creation. Why does Upanishad introduce the topic of creation? The nimittam. Nimittam is to talk about the glory of the Agnihi. How has this Agni come into existence? what is the source of this Agni? What is the origin of this Agni? To talk about the glory of the Agni, Upanishad introduces the topic of creation. But actually, intention of Upanishad is to make us understand the fact this Virat is actually nothing but a name attributed to the gross universe. And this universe is not a creation at all. This only appearance of what was there before, without being available for experience. What is already there without being available for experience alone, when it is available for experience, it is made available for experience, it is manifestation. This is what is creation. There is nothing which has been newly created. This Upanishad has to make us understand the fact for which the Srishti topic is discussed. But the Nimittam is the origin of the fire. The discussion of the origin of the fire is the instrumental for which for the Upanishad to introduce the Srishti. And there we saw Naiva Kinchid Asid Agre. Nothing was there before. In the first sentence I told you, nothing was there before, is this before this universe originated, came into existence, nothing was there before. In the very first sentence. So when Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada wanted to write commentary upon this mantra, the very first mantra he stopped. His focus was totally on establishing that this universe existed even before it manifested. Because there are lots of other schools of thought, there are many other schools of thought who are given to the view that this universe originated, has come into existence newly. Which means this universe did not exist before. When they talk about the non-existence of the universe before its creation, there are a few schools which hold on to the view that the cause was there earlier, but the effect wasn't, the forms, names and functions were not there before. And such people are known as Karya Asadvadinaha. There are some people, there are some other schools, few schools, who are given to the view that the cause itself was not there before. They are called Karana Asadvadinaha. So Karana Asadvadinaha means people of schools which are given to the view that cause wasn't there before. Karya Asadvadinaha means the people who are given to the view that effect was not there. Cause was there, but the effect was not there. Both these views were wrong, according to Shankara. And Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada refuted both these views before the origination of the this universe. The cause of the universe existed. The effect obtaining in the form of form, name and function also already existed. Which means the material also has not been created. The material cause has not been created. the effects obtaining in the form, name and function also have not been created. Everything was there before. And his view, Satkarya Vadaha. Everything existed before. And in Taittiriya Upanishad, in every Upanishad when he writes his commentary, he makes it very clear. And for Shankara, it is like eating rasagulla. Refuting all these different schools of thought means he just loves it because he's so clear. Now, somebody will be very, very happy to express the vision when once he's 100% clear means he'll be very happy to talk about it. So Shankara Bhagavatpada is always he likes. And he is very concerned. My God, Upanishad uses this expression, naiva kinchid agre asit, means finished. Upanishad, with all these people who are holding on to these views that this universe suddenly came into existence, nothing existed before, will be very happy to hold on to use this sentence from the Upanishad, and they will prove, they'll show that they have authentic source in the Upanishad itself. That is the most frightening thing. Therefore, in the very beginning, before even going to the second sentence, he wanted to make it very clear, no, all the views, all the different schools of thought, and holding on to the view that there is creation, and this creation is real. If they say there is creation, the first sentence, the second sentence definitely will be creation is real. There is creation means creation is real, becomes real. And the creation is real means then everything, all the problems which go with the creation also will become real. Your experiences will be real. Your paths of opposites will be real. Death will be real. Birth will be real. Everything will become real. And which means it will lead to a lot of confusions also. There will be problem of infinite regression also. Therefore, he wanted to make it very clear that this universe is, there's no, this universe existed before already. The cause was there. The effects obtaining in the form, name and function also existed before. Okay. There are other people who also are given to the view, cause did not exist before, effects also did not exist before, but they hold on this universe for them. They do not say this universe is real. They say this universe is nothing. This is the most, the other different people, okay? The two people of, some people, all these people hold on to the view that nothing existed before. And of those people who are given to the view that nothing existed before, one group of people say, this universe has come suddenly into existence. Therefore, it's a new creation. It's real. But there's another group of people, especially Buddhists, who say this universe also is unreal. There are some people who are given to the view that this universe is real. There's some people who are given to the view this universe is unreal. And people who say universe is real and people who say the universe is unreal, all these people hold on to one common view that this universe did not exist before it came into existence, before it originated. Neither the cause was there nor the effects were there. and something, but that they all hold on to the same view. But the difference is there are some people who say the universe is real and some people who say the universe is unreal. But Shankara says differently. You know, if you say this universe is real, you're accepting the creation as real. Means what? Real means, the definition of real, you have to remember, real is that, what is real? That which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which does not undergo any change, that which has independent existence, alone is real. This is the definition of Sat. They say this universe is real. So they are wrong. And there are other people who say the universe is unreal. Unreal means what? Unreal means this universe does not exist at all. And when they say this universe does not exist at all, what is the reason for people, the first group of people who say this universe is real? They say universe is real because they do not see the definition of what is real. They just hold on to the one thing. Anything we perceive, anything and everything which is available for experience and objectification is real. We are experiencing birth, we are experiencing death, we are experiencing all the pairs of opposites, we are experiencing the forms, names and functions, we are experiencing this universe. The universe is available for our experience, therefore it is real. This is their view. And the other people who say, this universe is unreal. And what the reason they give, even though we are experiencing this universe does not exist at all. While experiencing the universe, they say this universe does not exist at all, unreal. And when they say this universe does not exist at all, it is unreal, what do they mean by that? They say, this universe is only projection of the thoughts which rise in our minds. This universe is only a projection of the thoughts. Therefore, this universe doesn't exist. Really, this universe does not exist at all. It's unreal. If there is a thought in the mind, if there is a man thought, there is a man outside. And there is a woman thought, there is a woman outside. We also agree with that, but we say we are different. And every time you see one person, one given object outside continuously means, according to them, the same person does not exist. There are so many thoughts which keep flowing. And accordingly, outside what you see doesn't exist at all. It's only projection of your own thoughts. Therefore, the universe is unreal. But what does Shankara say? First, before this universe came into existence, before the universe originated, this universe exactly how it is, the universe was there before. Which means there is no creation at all. Nothing has been created newly. The material was there already. The cause was there. The effects also were there. Only difference is the forms, names and functions, nama, rupam, karma, they were unmanifest in the cause. Unmanifest means they were, but they were undifferentiated. And the form, name and function, when they're undifferentiated, unmanifest also, they were inseparable, non-separate from the cause, and they only become manifest. So bringing the unmanifest form, name and function into manifestation is creation. There is no other creation. So bringing the already existent form, name and function, unmanifest, undifferentiated form, name and function to manifestation is creation. Therefore, the form, name and function, after they become manifest also, they are inseparable, non-separate from its the cause. So before the ornaments are made, like in terms of chain, bangle, ring, etc., the gold was there. The goldsmith does not create the gold. The gold is already there. The very gold ball or a gold biscuit or in which will form the gold, lump of gold, all these different forms, names and functions in terms of the bangles, rings, chains, etc., all of them already existed. They were not created. The goldsmith only, when they were unmanifest, they were undifferentiated also. You cannot differentiate the bangle from the chain, chain from the bangle, or ring from bangle and chain. They are undifferentiated. So in always an unmanifest condition, they are undifferentiated. They remain as one, divisionless, one divisionless, indivisible, unmanifest, undifferentiated one lump. So goldsmith only brings the unmanifest forms, names and functions into manifestation. When the forms are brought into manifestation, the names also come along with the forms as chains, bangles, rings, etc. When the names also come along with the forms, and later on, they also serve different purposes. One is worn on the neck, one is worn on the hands. So they go and sit in different places, serving different purposes. But this is what is creation. First, he establishes this. Okay, nothing has been created. Therefore, nothing can be destroyed also. Suppose if at all we again, if we melt these forms, names and functions, destroy the chain, destroy the bangle, destroy. What is destruction? Is it something called absolute total destruction of anything? No, nothing can be destroyed. If at all you destroy, what can you do? The form can be changed. So changing the form is what? Maximum the change can be brought about. Change of the form is destruction. The chain, again, the chain and bangle are melted. The forms will disappear. The name, along with the forms, names also will resolve. Along with the names, the purpose also will not be possible. No purpose will be served. Therefore, nama rupa karma, again, what happens? It is not destroyed. It is only becomes unmanifest. When the, again, they're melted, forms become unmanifest. Along with the forms, names also will become unmanifest. The functions also become unmanifest. So they are not destroyed. So this is called becoming from being manifest, becoming unmanifest is called a dissolution. Other is called relative destruction. But gold is not destroyed at all. Similarly here, nothing is destructible here. Nothing is destroyed. Nothing has been created. Therefore, nothing is destroyed. Only one thing is the forms, names and functions which are unmanifest are brought into manifestation. When they're brought into manifestation, they're differentiated. They seem to be divisible, different. Again, they can become unmanifest. The forms, names and functions alone can become manifest and unmanifest. Really speaking, nothing has been created, nothing has been destroyed. First, he makes it very clear. Therefore, first negates the cause. It was already there. This point is made very clear. The second thing, now both the views are refuted. The universe is real when they say, that is also negated. The universe is unreal, that view is also negated, refuted. The universe is neither real nor is it unreal. Akkad Shankar Bhagavat, the universe is neither real nor is it unreal. Why? What is this universe? The universe is only Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. Forms, names and functions constitute the universe. And they were unmanifest, they become manifest. Again, from being manifest, they can become unmanifest. But where the manifest forms, names and functions exist, the substratum for the forms, unmanifest forms, names and functions, and the manifest forms, names and functions is one and the only reality, only truth. Therefore, the whether manifest or unmanifest, vyaktam va avyaktam va, so vyaktasya avyaktasya, for the manifest and the unmanifest, forms, names and functions, there is no independent existence. Unmanifest forms, names and functions also, they remain unmanifest in the very reality. And when they become manifest also, they remain only in the very reality. They do not have independent existence. Before the chain is made, also chain does not exist outside of the gold. After the chain is made, also the chain doesn't exist independently outside of the gold. So unmanifest rupam or manifest rupam. Unmanifest or manifest, the forms do not have independent existence outside of the reality. Because so it's also this jagat also, all these innumerable countless forms, names and functions which constitute the jagat also do not have independent existence outside of the reality. Therefore, they cannot be counted as a parallel reality. Therefore, he says, this universe is mithya. It is not real. For something to be real, it must have independent existence. The universe is nothing but forms, names and functions which have no independent existence. No independent existence. Why? Because they have beginning and they have an end. They have beginning, which means they have cause. The forms names, forms have a beginning. Before the forms originated, they were unmanifest. Therefore, they have a cause. And they have a cause means they do not have independent existence. They have dependent existence. Therefore, they are not countable. All the forms are nothing but the reality. Like all the waves are water. All the forms are nothing but the reality. Therefore, we have to give the only different status. There is mithya. Mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal. Now, the world is not unreal also. Unreal is something which does not exist at all is unreal. So even the people, even though they called the, it's only thought projected universe, still is available for experience. It is not unreal. So it is neither unreal nor is it real. Then what is it then? Neither satyam nor tucham, but it is mithya. This is what Shankar Bhagavatpada establishes. Jagat is, but these, the all these people who are given to this view that universe is real, and other group of people who are given to the view that universe is only real, universe is unreal. And the all the people are given to one specific view that this universe did not exist before. It is easy for people who say the universe is unreal. They can say universe did not exist before, therefore now also it doesn't exist at all. Therefore they can't establish what is a projection, mental projection, they can't talk about it. Whereas people who say the universe is real, they are given to the view the universe did not exist before, but now it has come suddenly newly and it is real. It is new creation. Therefore, Shankara refutes both the views. Universe is neither real nor unreal. And this universe has not been created newly. It did exist before. But only thing is, with these forms, names and functions unmanifest. And later, the same forms and functions become manifest. In manifestation, there is differentiation. And in unmanifestation, there is undifferentiation. They are undifferentiated. This is the only difference. And for which he is establishing this. He is going to say, we'll see that later on. See, when you understand the reality, the words, we are going to see Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma later on. There is only Brahman. There is only Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. Which means only the term, the expression only negates, emphasizes the secondlessness, emphasizes the non-duality. The reality is one, secondless and non-dual. But how many differences we are experiencing? We are experiencing the difference in terms of elements. If every element is different from every other element, in nature, in condition, in different. In its shabdas, in its gunas, gunas of the elements are different. Elements are different. Elementals are different. There again, we differentiate the living and non-living differences. Mobile and immobile. And in every species, we see varieties of differences. And we already talked about Sajatiya Bheda, Vijatiya Bheda, Swagata Bheda, all the Bhedas. With all these differences, and we have to see the unity in diversity, how all of them are mithya. All the differences are mithya. All these, the variety is mithya. Plurality is mithya. Multiplicity is mithya. Divisions are mithya. Which means all these innumerable countless forms and names and functions are manifestations of only truth. Manifold manifestations are the only reality. And what is it? That reality alone is implied by the term Brahma. And that Brahma, you are going to recognize as your own Swarupam. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi, that you are going to come across. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi, it is exactly like the wave can say, I, the wave, am the water, the H2O. The wave can say, when the wave's identity is resolved in water, the H2O, then that water, which is the truth of the entire ocean, all the waves being one and the same, then definitely, from the standpoint of the knowledge of the truth, the entire ocean, nothing but water, all that is, there is only water. That vision is possible. The same way here also, the truth of the entire universe, implied by the word Brahman, has to be recognized as one's own Swarupam. In recognizing, understanding, concentrating, dwelling upon, assimilating, and having it cleared out through vision, one can, without saying, one can remain in that vision, that Aham Brahma Asmi. To say all that is as only thing, mean everything is manifestation of the only reality. So manifestations are all mithya. The truth without which, from which everything is manifest alone is satyam. Therefore, we have to say all the mithya manifestations are of the only satyam implied by the term Brahma. I'm repeating sentence. All the manifestations are of the only satyam, only truth, only reality, Brahma. Well, then you can say all that is, there is only Brahma. Which means nothing is created, means you understand the reality is of the nature of knowing. Even one word cannot be used here to indicate the reality. Even the word jnanam cannot be used. Jnanam, satyam, ekam, shuddham, nityam. How many other words are there? No word can be used to indicate reality directly, including the word jnanam. In English, if you can say, whether you use the term knowledge or awareness or consciousness, none of these words can be used to indicate reality. Later on, we use the word consciousness, awareness, knowledge, etc. We say pure knowledge, etc. Really speaking, you have to only use the term reality. So we arrive at the Shastram helps us arrive at the reality in terms of its nature. In what form do you, when you arrive at the, when using the Shastra's method of unfoldment, when you arrive at the reality, understand the reality, in what form do you arrive at the reality? What form does reality obtain? First thing, now we have to very carefully, okay? When you, using the Shastra's method of unfoldment, through the method of unfoldment, when you understand, when you arrive at the reality, in what form does the reality obtain? First thing, only chit, knowledge. இது சித் the word சித் யூஸ் லேட்டர் ஆன். ஓகே, ஒன்லி எஸ் நாலெட்ஜ். When you first Shastram uses this first method, what is the first basic kindergarten methodology used? Drip Drishya Viveka Prakriya. We cannot use on our own. Shastram only tells us. Shastram gives the hint. These words are available. So in Taittiriya we understood. No, Guhayam Nihitam. Therefore when the expression is said Guhayam Nihitam, even though everything is reality, to understand reality, you have to go to the Buddhi Guha, the cave of mind. In the cave of mind, you finally, when you what cannot be negated as object is only I, the subject. And that I, you find out that, as a, discover what that I is, when you arrive at it, you understand, you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowledge. Therefore, only even the word jnanam is only swarupam. In what form does the reality obtain when you arrive at it? In the form of knowledge. That is how you start first to pick up. Then you start from there. So, okay, I arrive at it because it is there, that knowledge. That reality obtaining as the knowledge. Obtaining mandram of knowledge alone is the form of everything. Because knowing is the swarupam of the reality. Knowing is not an action. So that does that knowledge. Okay, knowledge is the truth of everything. But still we have to account for this, the matter here. What about the inert matter we're experiencing? This inert matter which is experienced also is that knowledge. For you to say the entire objective universe which you arrived at as your swarupam is essentially the knowledge. Matter is knowledge. How can you equate matter is knowledge? Wave is water, it is easy to say. So I, the knower, am awareness, consciousness, it is easy to say. But you have to say the entire cosmos is, the material universe is consciousness. The grossest tangible matter is subtlest, intangible, most intangible consciousness or knowledge. Here, you have to remember this example, which means, does consciousness create the matter? Consciousness does not create the matter. But if doesn't create means, is consciousness and matter, are they one and the only thing? Are they one? So consciousness and matter, then why do we use two words? They are not two. Definitely they are not one. Consciousness and matter are not one. If they are not one, are they two? Nor are they two. Neither two nor one. You cannot say consciousness and chetanam, achetanam, ekam, you cannot say. Chetanam, achetanam, dvayam also you cannot say. There two means duality comes, one means, and you don't need to use two words. That's the biggest problem. It is exactly like, understand this, let me use this grossest example. See, there is a substance, there is one substance in the presence of which all the opaque things shine. In fact, apart from that one substance, everything else is opaque. only one thing which is not opaque. The light is the only thing which does not come under the category of the opaque. You know why? Because light is not opaque. Because light is self-luminous. That's why it's called a very light. The very word used is light. So does the light, now only in the presence of the light, all the opaque forms and names, the functions, they shine. Even opaque thing, which in obtaining in a given form, indicated by a given word, or suppose for example chair or a cupboard, it is a given form, indicated by a given word, it serves a given purpose. If it is the pitch darkness, that object is as good as non-existent. The form is not known, name also cannot be used to indicate that object because the form itself is not seen, and it cannot serve any purpose because you don't even know that the chair exists in the room. When it is completely covered in darkness, the object is as good as non-existent. In the presence of the light, the object called chair, it shines. You see, you can experience the form. You can understand what it is. It is not the table, it's a chair. You can understand it. You know what purpose it serves. You can make use of it also. It is useful. It serves a purpose. It is useful. So what is the connection between the light and the opaque? How far is the light from the opaque? How far is, what is the distance between light and the opaque chair? In fact, light pervades the chair in and through. Before even the light, the chair obtaining in the form of mere wood also is not outside of the light. The wood, after becoming chair in the form of an effect also, it is not outside of the light. The cause wood and the effect chair, material, the matter and the cause and the effect, wood and the effect, the cause and the effect, wood and wood obtained from a chair, cause and the effect both do not exist outside of the light. But light does not create the wood. Light does not create the chair. But the wood as a wood also enjoys existence in the presence of the light. The chair, wood in the form of chair also enjoys its existence in the presence of the light. So cause and effect both enjoy existence only in the light, in the presence of the light. Because the cause itself is mithya. Cause itself is opaque. So effect also is opaque. It doesn't have existence outside of the light. But light does not create the wood, nor does the light create the effect chair. But without light, the cause and its effect, the form of chair, both have no existence outside of the light. They cannot, they'll be as good as non-existent. Therefore, light is different, opaque is different. They're two, but they're not two. We cannot count them as two, nor are they one. Chair and the light and the opaque are not one. One is dependent, one is, light is independent of the opaque. Because light is not dependent on the opaque to come to light. Whereas opaque is very much dependent on the light to come to light. Therefore, they're not two, nor are they one. We can say they both are the two orders of the only reality. So light is satyam, opaque is mithya. The cause wood is also mithya. The effect chair is also mithya. So cause and effect both mithya. That doesn't So light is neither the cause nor the effect. But the cause would also is light. The effect chair is also light. Not why? Because doesn't have independent existence outside of the light. Cause is also mithya, effect also is mithya. But light is free from both cause and effect. Light is neither the cause nor the effect. I mean, the sandpan, the opaque wood I'm talking about. Don't get confused. Because in only in the presence of the light, the opaque wood obtaining as the cause or in the form of the effect enjoy existence. They don't have independent existence, we say mithya. And now we can say, but this light without the wood and the wood in the form of as a cause or the effect chair, light will be what? Non-recognizable. So now we can say in the presence of the wood, light gets the status, illuminated status. In the presence of the opaque wood, I'm going to give only one example, don't get confused. In the presence of the opaque wood, the light gets the illuminated status. Therefore, Lord status. The presence of the opaque chair effect, the light gets the illuminated status. Minus wood, name of a cause or name of a chair, the light is just the light, it doesn't have the illuminated status. So Ishvara status is not there. Now we can say, therefore, the wood shines, the effect name of chair shines, the cause and the effect both shine because they reflect the light. The wood is also reflected. In the presence of the wood, light gets the name reflected light. In the presence of the opaque wooden chair, light gets the name reflected light. But if we think well, there is no such a thing called reflected light. Reflected light, the reflected adjective is attributed to the light only in the presence of the wood, the cause, and the wooden chair, the effect. And you have to add also, in the absence of the wood and the wooden chair, the light is what? We also add next to distinguish it, pure light. No, there is neither the pure light nor is there the reflected light. There is just the light. Therefore, we can say this wood, which serves as a reflecting medium, in the presence of which the light gets the qualifications reflected light, can be looked upon as the reflection of the light. I'm using three words here, reflected light, reflecting medium. Then next sentence I'm saying is what? The wood obtaining in the form of a cause or the chair is what? The wooden chair, opaque wooden chair is a reflection of the light. Every opaque thing is reflection of the light. You know why? Minus light, it has no existence. If there is no substance of something called light at all, every opaque thing will be as good as non-existent only. Therefore, every opaque thing is nothing but reflection of the light. Therefore, reflection of the light is nothing but the light. Light is not the reflection, but the reflection is of the light. If we extend the same example to this, all the matter and the material elements and the elementals, material products, the entire jagat, all the forms, names and functions, the actions and experiences, everything enjoy their existence, everything enjoys its existence only in the presence of the consciousness, the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. Therefore, everything is, you can say, serves as every object, every known object is manifestation of knowledge. Every known object is manifestation of knowledge. Every reflected opaque, reflecting medium is reflection of the light. Every object of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge, the truth, the reality. So manifestation is of the knowledge, but knowledge is not manifestation. So the entire cosmos is not creation, not created, or the entire creation is nothing but constituted of, the entire universe is constituted of innumerable, countless manifestations of the only reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. Therefore, the entire universe is manifestation of knowledge. The reality is not manifestation, but manifestation is of the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge, or reality which is of the nature of knowing. All the Mahatmas, in all the regional languages, in all their works, they've expressed this vision. And what is timeless wisdom obtained in the Upanishads is later on also revealed in regional languages by all the Mahatmas in their own languages, their own works. And for us to be able to appreciate this fact, this is a fact. The whole Jagat is manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of the reality obtained, which is of the nature of knowing. This is a fact. So whether you say the whole Jagat means, as simply we say universe, really speaking, everything, every object of experience is manifestation of the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. And manifestation of knowledge. When you say reality is the mandapam, the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. The whole universe is knowledge. All that is there is only knowledge. Manifestation of knowledge means everything is knowledge. Wave is water. So manifestation is knowledge. The whole universe is knowledge. Now, next sentence. If knowledge is in the form of existence of everything, reality obtaining in the form of knowledge alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Existence and knowledge are not two different things. All that is, there is only knowledge. Means, knowledge is existence. Therefore, all that is, there is only existence. The whole universe is nothing but existence obtaining in the form of knowledge. Therefore, there's only knowledge. The whole Jagat is only knowledge means, what is there is only knowledge means, what is there is only existence. Why existence and knowledge are not two different things? You can say all that is there is only knowledge means all that is there is only existence. Therefore, there is no non-existence. I want to bring you to this fact, okay? There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. How will you arrive at it? In Tamil, one song is there. Illama endra ondrillai. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. When I say that, I mean, what is there is only existence. If what is there is only existence, what does it mean? What is there is only knowledge. If you say what is there is only knowledge, you must be able to say what is there is only existence. When that is said, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. So what is that which comes and goes then? The reality is always there. Forms come, become manifest, forms become unmanifest. So the forms becoming manifest is creation, forms becoming unmanifest is dissolution. And these both are nothing but changes. So birth is a change, death is a change, creation is a change, dissolution is a change. Therefore, the change is something constant, only relative. There is no absolute change. There is no permanent change. Constant. Therefore, it's relative. That is why there is no such a thing called absolute destruction also. So, along with the forms, names also, words also become manifest. Along with the forms, names also will become unmanifest. There cannot be a word without a form. There cannot be a form without a word. Words become meaningless when the forms are not there. So, what are purposes served by those forms also, or functions also, will be impossible without the forms. Therefore, that's why Shankara said beautifully, very thoroughly, he analyzed very thoroughly. He used, what is this universe? He said, Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat Mithya Prapanchaha. Nama Rupa Karmatmak, Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Mithya Jagat. He had to just say that. We never connect the knowledge and existence together. You have to move on from knowledge to existence also. Because our understanding of non-existence is different, isn't it? There is no absolute non-existence. But existence is absolute. There is no matter which is absolute, but knowledge is absolute. And you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, you understand the reality as pure knowledge. And then that knowledge is the existence. That knowledge alone is the name of existence of everything. Therefore, you can say all that is there is only knowledge, or all that is there is only existence. And this knowledge, which is nothing but existence of this form, name and functions, the universe obtaining of forms, names and functions, is of the nature of limitlessness. Why time also is within the realm of the universe, mithya. Space also is within the realm of the universe, mithya. Therefore, the space time is free from time, free from spatial limitation, free from time limitation. And therefore, everything else exists within the realm of time and space, being mithya, this reality is free from object limitation also. And this reality is the very substratum, very existence, the truth, essence, the source of all the forms and all the names indicating all the forms and all the function, purposes served by all these forms. And that reality we have to finally say, I is that Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. We tiny form sitting on small corner of the room. From that body form, you have to drag the I out forcefully. You know, and from there you have to drag that from all the subtle sense powers and powers of organs of actions. You're sitting here and then, no, not coming out. You have to push it and then all the thoughts and drag it, drag the eye separately from all the thoughts also. Then you have to, it's like typically taking it from pushing it there and see that I. It's like typically you have to distinguish one wave from all the waves of the ocean and from the form ocean also and resolve that form wave in the water. Similarly here, you have to resolve that I cognition in the awareness, the knowledge, the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. In pure knowledge. Then you have to say what? That knowledge is existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Atma Brahma and Aham Atma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Only then you can be contemplative. Until then, you should not think of contemplation. Okay? Now you're eligible for contemplation. Then you can say, Swamiji doesn't like this melancholic noise of Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham. People like this all. No. People like this very, very, very sad. It is not melodramatic, definitely. It is for you to see the fact Chit Ananda Swarupaha Shivaha Aham Shivaha Aham Aham Shivaha. Doctor, you have to say Aham Shivaha, okay? Tvam Kaha. In Sanskrit class I ask Tvam Kaha Bhavan Kaha. And then you give the answer, Aham Shivaha. Not that answer. Listen, Aham Shivaha. Shivaha Chit Ananda Swarupaha Aham Shivaha. Shivoham Shivoham. It's not for us to feel sad to understand this. That is why only after understanding this fact, then Nirvana Shatkam should be taken for unfoldment. It's only for contemplation. Swamiji always says it's not for singing. It is for contemplation. Manaha buddhihi chittam ahankara chittani na aham. This I cognition is distinct from all of them. It is not, I am not that. Then Chidananda Swarupa Shivoham Shivoham. The Chit Ananda Swarupaha, only we say that. Swarupaha means the reality which is of the nature of knowing, knowledge. which is of the nature of limitlessness, and which is of the nature of auspiciousness, which is absolutely free from all forms of sorrow in any form, caused by anything. So only one thing which is Shivaha, only one thing which is auspicious, which doesn't cause sorrow, in understanding which the sorrow gets driven away, which is free from sorrow. Therefore here, that is Brahma. So when you understand the word Brahma, you Ananta Shabda, you are already seeing this reality is of the nature of knowing the pure knowledge, and which alone is the name of existence. And this knowledge obtaining of existence is also what? Then already time and space both are part of the universe. Therefore, it's free from time and space. Therefore, free from all the object limitations. This time is Brahma, space is Brahma, all the forms, names and functions which exist in the realm of time and space are also Brahma. Therefore, Brahman is free from all three possible realities, free from all three, four limitations. Therefore, it is of nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is simple with the term Brahma, and that Brahma, Aham Brahma Asmi. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi, all that is here is Brahma. Therefore, I am the whole. Aham Idam Sarvam. So, universe is what? If you say only, if you say universe is, it's a problem, isn't it? The universe is Satyam, Mithya Nama Rupa Atmakam, Nama Rupa Karma Atmakam, Jabati Satyam Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. The universe is neither real nor unreal. So we'll continue properly from the next class. Properly means what? We will go to the text, okay? Because I have to go to Ghata. Ghata Bhashyam is still I have to go on to. But before going there, let me prepare you a bit. Is there any confusion? Is there confusing you? I wanted to clarify this.
Swami, namaste. Can I ask a very quick question?
Yeah.
Sort of halfway through today, you talked about the names and forms are unmanifest, and then they go into, then they become manifest.
Yeah.
There's some unmanifest to manifest, and that is creation. So what causes that unmanifest to manifest, and what then makes the manifest?
The karma.
It's karma when it's
karma. The karma, the order. That's why we call it order.
Okay.
This order, which also this doesn't exist outside of the reality. It's an order.
Yeah.
So it's an order. The order also within the realm of the reality only.
So the order is just like a cycle, just going from unmanifest to manifest, unmanifest.
Yes, that will become very clear later on. Just today, I want to introduce that. See, actually, we have yet to go to the proper lesson. And I thought, introducing last class, and I understood a lot of things that have to become very, very clear. So first, I want to make it very clear today, which already these things I have already taught you. So I wanted to talk put the whole thing together to make it very clear. Then I can get into the different schools of thought and how Shankara refutes, we can see that. Buddhism and all that. See, before, if we have what is Shankara's vision very clear, it is very clear, then we can see separately all other things.
Thank you.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamodachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम.